Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you, and I'm now in studio with Dr. Tom Schwartz, the Hospital Director for the Veterinary Health Center of Kansas State University. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me this morning.
Oh, great to have you in. Busy weekend at K-State.
It's always a great weekend. Great weekend. I've been at K-State a little more than a year. I attended my first graduation on Friday, and it's a wonderful event. Brought back a lot of memories for me from many years ago, but it's a great event. Thrilled for our students. It's a great profession. I'm excited for them to get started. And I encourage anybody who's interested in veterinary medicine to certainly come by the campus. We're happy to give you a tour and tell you more about the profession.
Well, I guess before we get too deep into the content real quick, relatively new to the area, it sounds like. If you can give a little background on yourself.
I started here in January of 2017. I'm very, very privileged to lead the hospital at Kansas State. I started off my career after I attended the University of Michigan as a banker. I worked for a large commercial bank in St. Louis for a few years. Decided I wanted to pursue veterinary medicine. Spent a couple of years doing prerequisites, biology, chemistry, all those things I had avoided as a political science student and economics student. Then I went back to Michigan State, University College of Veterinary Medicine, finished there in 94, and spent every year in private practice until 2017, the last 15 or 16 of which I owned a large, small animal practice. But I've been in mixed animal. I've taken care of almost everything that walks or flies, I say.
And that's what brought you to K-State?
I have a little bit of that business background, and they were looking for a hospital director. So after running my own hospital and having that background, again, it was unexpected privilege, let me put it that way.
Well, what's the biggest difference that you've noticed in what university work compared to, I guess, your private practice work?
Well, I tell people in private practice, you own your own practice, and it's good to be king. when it's, you know, certainly there's more administration in a university setting, and you have to really consider students. So everything you do business-wise is not for, you know, I hate to say it, like profit's an ugly word, but it's not for profit. We have to consider how it impacts students, how it impacts teaching, how it impacts research, as well as a responsibility to derive revenue for the college. Because as we're going to talk about today, our students are in a very unique position in the amount of debt they've acquired. It was really eye-opening for me when I started at the school. I mean, I think anybody who's been to college in the last 15 or 20 years understands that there's student debt. But I really had no idea of the level of debt that our graduates are burdened with. It's truly unique among graduate students. I would say chiropractors, dentists, maybe there's a couple other professions who are similarly situated. But veterinary students, their debt-to-income ratio, so the amount of debt that they incur compared to their first year's income, averages 2-to-1. Anything over 1-to-1 is considered unhealthy. Anything over 1.4, 1.5-to-1 is described as onerous, and our average is 2-to-1. So it's certainly a real consideration for those going to veterinary school, how they handle their personal finances, how they handle repayment of their loans. So that was an eye-opener for me, and I've tried to focus my efforts in the class I teach. I teach the practice management class, but instead of talking the first few weeks about how you manage a practice, we spend a lot of time on personal budget and then how to handle debt repayment.
Brady Bowman here with Dr. Tom Schwartz. He's a hospital director for the Veterinary Health Center of Kansas State University. And I do want to remind folks that phone lines are open. If you have any questions, comments, want to get involved in the conversation, it's a very important conversation. 785-537-1350 is the number to call. And, you know, I've always had some friends that are study vet med at K-State. Mm-hmm. And, you know, along with the stresses that you talk about financially, it's also, it's not the easiest program to go through. And rightfully so. I mean, I want my vet, if I have my pet taken to vet, I want to make sure that they're, you know, nailed down on every little thing.
Right.
So they combine those two things. I mean, it's a stressful situation sometimes.
They're family members. And I think most people who go into veterinary school view them as such. We also know when it comes to dairy medicine or beef production medicine or pork or any of the agricultural livestock services, that's also very important for those producers. It's their family business, and we take that very seriously. I think one of the things that drove me into mixed animal practice was dairy medicine. I really enjoyed working with the small family dairies we had where I was in southern Illinois. But it's extremely important to them that their cows are healthy. When they're making medical decisions, often it's not based upon numbers. I could tell them it's not worth treating this animal, not worth operating on this animal, but it's their son's 4-H cow, and it's Bessie. It's not number 401. And so I think there certainly are stresses that come with that because we are treating family members. So very similar to human medicine, even though, you know, they're animals. But to us, family members and very important.
And we do have a phone call. Caller, go ahead. You're on in focus. Hello, caller.
Yes. I'm so glad that you are teaching the economics of the business. Years before you got there, I had spoken to some of the vet students who had no idea about the ranch business or the vet business or anything else. And with the brightest of the students going into the vet business, I'm so glad that you were able to bring the economics into the school classroom. Thank you for all your efforts.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. It's important. It's important for several reasons we've talked about, certainly livestock production in this state, you know, beef production. It's important for the students themselves. Many of them will be small business owners, so we have to train them to do that. In fact, we have to encourage them to do that because I think that's, you know, frankly, the way to help them repay their loans and build wealth. And when I say wealth, it's not millions and millions of dollars. It's build enough to retire on, to help your children with their education, help your grandchildren with your education, avoid financial stresses. So owning your own business is very important. Understanding, if you do work in livestock services, how other businesses operate, very important. So you have to understand how a dairy functions, beef production, cow-calf, feedlot, all of those factors that play a role in how you're going to practice medicine. So I certainly appreciate the phone call. And we spend a lot of time on it, Dr. Brad White, the Beef Cattle Institute, Dr. Dan Thompson, who's often on the radio here. I think they spend a great deal of effort educating the students on the economics of the profession, especially when it comes to livestock.
Because you do bring up a good point when you talk about animal health, especially on the business side. We always think of veterinary practices a lot, like, you know, just bringing in your cat Fluffy or your dog Fido.
Right.
But when you're talking about commercial operations, I mean, the health of your animals is so key there, because just from a pure business standpoint, if your herd's not healthy, you're not getting a very good product out there.
Well, it's certainly important for production medicine, crucial. Right, infectious disease can be a disaster, whether it's a dairy or a pig farm. So we spend a lot of time, a lot of research. There's a lot of research that goes on at Kansas State about especially infectious disease. We have a very, very strong and vigorous research program there. Everybody in Kansas should be very proud of that. Probably leads the country in many ways. But helping to protect these herds from infectious disease, you know, we've seen time and time again new viruses or old viruses even pop up. And, you know, I think about the porcine herds, how it can rip through a farm and just devastate it. So just with death loss or loss in weight gain. And when you talk about dairies and now beef cattle, we have a terrible disease called Yoni's disease, which causes chronic diarrhea in cattle. Very difficult to control. It's extremely costly, so trying to keep it out of herds or cull the animals that are affected within herds, there's strategies. We have other experts, Greg Hanlicek at the university, again, tremendous leader. Jamie Hennison is head of the lab now, tremendous leader in trying to determine the causes of these things and how to best control them.
I'm sure there's a lot of excitement with the Veterinary Health Center at K-State with MBATH, and that we're getting closer and closer to completion with MBATH. I'm sure there's some excitement about some possible collaboration there in the future.
I think it's it's very exciting as we watch it go up. What a facility, $1.6
billion. A lot of it underground.
Much of it underground. Yeah. I think researching these infectious diseases, absolutely. We do have an institute right next to the veterinary school that does some similar research with pathogens that probably aren't quite as dangerous or foreign, but nevertheless extremely important to help prevent these diseases from getting into our herds. I think just even from a terrorism aspect, because that's really what the purpose of the lab is, to defend our livestock here, or defend our agriculture industry, to keep infectious agents out of the United States, or if they would happen to arise, how do you handle it? If you get foot and mouth disease in this country, how would we ever take care of it, quarantine herds, culling herds, things like that. So, yes, very important. We have a lot of people on campus looking at those things.
And we do have another phone call. Go ahead, caller. You're on In Focus.
Good morning. Good morning, Doctor. Glad to hear you on the program again. I listened to you for several, I don't know how long now, months, whatever, weeks. I just want to say one thing. I'm going to make a prediction that someday there will be a building named after you of Kansas State University Veterinary Complex, along with Dean Dykstra, Dean Leisure, Dr. Coles, Jake, or Dr. Mosier, and the balance of them. Maybe they could just call that entire complex, make that dedicated to you. our family has been connected with the veterinary department at Kansas State University since 1927, so that's quite a long time, and I knew all those people I just mentioned to you personally. They're all great people, and you fit right in there. So I'm going to put my vote in that they just call the entire complex your full name, not just last name, full name.
Well, that's extraordinary flattery. I'm not sure what the source of that praise is, but we have tremendous people and tremendous leadership on campus. Dr. Rush, who's the interim dean right now, is doing wonderful work. Dr. Henningsen, as I said, in the lab, Brad White at Beef Cattle Institute. There's not to mention the innumerable faculty who have been there for many, many years and have trained many, many veterinarians, and who would be certainly far more deserving than me, but I thank you for the kind thoughts.
Let's go ahead and take a break, as you've got a feather in your cap to start the week, don't you?
I do. But thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
More In Focus coming up.
KMAN News is brought to you by ESB Financial. Get ESB Financial's free app, card